Okay, praise the Lord. I want to hopefully finish this little Bible study that we've been doing from 1 and 2 Kings. Started off with Elijah. Last week, just for review, was Elisha and some of the ministry going on with Elisha. But I want to also make, how shall we do it here? I want to draw this little, I hate to call it a family tree, because some of it is a pretty rotten tree. Nevertheless, the tree keeps growing. Maybe it's a weed. Maybe we should call it a family weed. Okay? And it's it has to do with Israel and Judah. So I want to start. I'm making this on the board here for those of you that do not see. Okay, in this column on the left is Israel. All right? And over here in the right column, we'll start one, Judah. Now, this is in the past already. We already have Ahab. And, of course, his wicked wife, Jezebel. And the Word of God says at least two different places that there was none that did so evil, and so much more so with the encouragement and enablement of Jezebel, pushing him to do it. Now, at the same time in history, of course, we have a good man over here in Judah, Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat. Did I spell that right? Probably. Jehoshaphat. Okay, now we're going into history here, things that we've already covered. The son of Ahab was Ahaziah, right? He was the first son, Hazi'ah. And of course, these are sons of both Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel actually did have a couple of kids. Okay, now Ahaziah, just for review here, he was the fellow that was wounded, and how was it? He was wounded, and I guess, was it Elijah, I believe it was. Help me out here. And he sent these 10, 50. He sent 50, 50 troopers. I'll call him the 50 fella. And because Elijah had a word that he wasn't going to recover, okay? And so, you know the story. I'm not going to repeat it again. The third captain with his 50 said, look, just we're coming in peace. Please don't send fire. Okay, so he didn't last very long. And then his next son, all right, I'll draw this. This is a son. This is another son, and his name was Jehoram, Jehoram, and that name Jehoram, by the way, has another name. It's also known as Joram, Joram. It's a shortened version, but it's really the same name. Now, Jehoshaphat also has a son named Jehoram. And I'm going to put that in the right column. And he is also known as Joram. And it's when you're reading in Kings, you really got to be careful because you say, Jehoram, wait a minute, he did this? No. You got to remember which one was doing what, okay? So the problem with this Jehoram here, a good man, but he's married to Ahab's daughter. Can you imagine this? So his wife, well, it's mad, this thing's running out of ink. His wife is Athaliah. How do you spell it? A-T-H-A-L-I-A-H. I hope that's the way it is. So now, from Ahab and Jezebel, we have another link. Okay? Athaliah and Jehoram. Now, they have a son. Okay? And his name is Ahaziah. The same name as what? His great uncle or something? So they have a son. Ahaziah. A-H-A-Z-I-A-H. Ahaziah. Okay? So we're coming down the family tree here. Now, in addition to this, let me mention here, okay, now we're going to come to a completely different line over here, not related to Ahab. We're coming down to Jehu. We're on the left side now. We're on the Israel side. And by the way, this Joram here, he ruled for 12 years. Let me put that in a different color so we can see it clearly. Joram ruled 12 years. This fellow didn't rule very long. I don't know what it was. I forget what it was. A year, a short period of time. Jehu, when he finally comes to power, ruled actually 28 years. Okay? And we'll put some other dates as we get going. Okay, so this brings us down now to Jehu. All right? The last 2 weeks have brought us about to here. All right, now, well, actually, as we begin, this fellow is still king, okay? But he isn't going to be king long. All right, so let's go back to the word now. Now, it says in chapter 9, Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said to him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thy hand and to go to Ramoth-Gilead, okay? Now, let's imagine that this is all a map of Israel, okay? But over here's the Jordan, okay? Now over here, on this side of the Jordan, is Ramoth-Gilead, the one that the Syrian king had taken, but apparently they seem to have got it back, all right? Now this happens to be where Jehu is hanging out, all right? Where these fellows are hanging out is over here in Jezreel, further to the west, okay? East, Ramoth-Gilead. I saw it on a map. Am I right? You know your history a little better than I do. I have to study maps to figure this out, okay? So, take this oil, and when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat. Now, by the way, this is Jehu, the son of another Jehoshaphat.
Oh, wow.
This is not Jehoshaphat the king, but this is the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi.
See, this is why it gives Jehoshaphat, the son of so-and-so, you know, so that you know, no, that's not the same guy. They didn't have last names. Their last name would be son of so-and-so, or Ben something or other, you know. All right? And by the way, the Jehoshaphat of Judah was a descendant of David. Okay? God had promised David that there would be a king on the throne. Okay? The son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber. It doesn't mean he literally carried him. It means take him to a room somewhere where nobody else can see what's going on. Okay? And take the box of oil and pour it on his head. My, they didn't just get a dab, did they? I don't know what the meaning of the word box is. It might have been a container of some sort. Okay, it might have been an alabaster box probably wasn't a box. You know, as we think of a box, it was probably a jar. Okay, that was sealed. Okay, so take this box of oil, pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. In other words, do your job and then get out of there as fast as you can. See, now what the man is doing is actually a very dangerous thing. He is this young prophet. See, Elisha didn't do it himself. Do you notice the delegation? Elijah delegated, when the Lord originally gave Elijah the word, there's three things you have to do, Elijah. You have to anoint Elisha, you have to anoint Hazael to be king of Syria, and you have to anoint Jehu to be the king of Israel. Now, he did the first job. He anointed Elisha. Elisha then, anointed, not with oil, he just told him. He said, you're going to be king. So in other words, he gave him the anointed word of God. And he told him what a wicked and vile man he's going to be. And the man promptly goes home and kills the king. Because the king was old and he was not able to fight. So he just put that cloth over that wet cloth over him and held it there until the man couldn't breathe. And he died of suffocation. All right. And then Elisha delegates to an unknown young prophet and says, all right, you want to be a prophet? Here's a job for you. And a very dangerous job, because he was asking for, what is it called when you overthrow the government? Insurrection? Coup? Yeah, he was asking for a coup. All right? And, you know, by the way, kings have armies to prevent this kind of thing. And this is why Elisha said to him, get out of there and run as fast as you can. Now, listen to what happened. So he came and behold the captains of the host. Captains. These were the officers, okay? These were the officers of what used to be Ahab's army, now Joram. This Joram over on the left side under Israel, it's Joram's army. He's got a contingent of these military men over across the Jordan in Ramoth Gilead. Obviously, he wants to hold it so that Syria doesn't come and try to take it back. Okay? So the captains were sitting, and he said they must have been having coffee break or whatever break they were taking. Amen. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And see, he didn't know which one was Jehu. He said, one of you captains, I have an errand for you. And Jehu was the one who answered. And he said, unto which of all of us? All of us or one of us? And he said, to thee, O captain. So he must have figured out it was Jehu, okay? So he arose and went into the house. So this taking him into a chamber meant taking him into a house where they were alone. Okay? He went into the house, poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, now listen, this prophet is actually saying more than was recorded in the verses above, where Elisha, if you take it literally, Elisha just said, pour the oil and say that you're anointed king. Either Elisha told him more, or the Spirit of the Lord came on this young prophet, because he had a lot more to tell Jehu. Yes. All right, let's follow along. He said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I believe the young prophet was hearing the voice of God now. Okay? He was hearing more than just pour the oil and run. Okay? I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. See, as this is God. These people were this whole kingdom had fallen under Baal. Now, yes, 7,000 hadn't bowed their knee. But God is still saying to this man, these are still my people, okay? My people, my sheep have gone astray, okay? But I have yet one move that I'm going to try to bring them back, and it's going to be a very desperate move. It's going to be a, did I use the right word, desperate? It's going to be a violent move to bring them back. Okay? Verse 7. Now here's the key. Follow this. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master. See, he was under the house of Ahab. All right? Ahab was not alive now. But it was still the house of Ahab. You follow what I'm saying? This Ahaziah and Jehoram, they are sons of Ahab. Okay? You shall smite the house of Ahab thy master. That means the whole house. Okay? That I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. Now, who all did this apply to? Who all is God avenging this for? Well, for instance, we can start with the man Naboth. Okay? Now, I have reason to believe from what I've read later here that it did not only include Naboth, but it included his sons.
Wow, that would be right.
Read it later, because when they brought them back, the body back to the vineyard of Naboth, it mentions something about his sons were also included in the wickedness of Jezebel. Now, let us also remember that there was a time who was the man that hid the prophets by 50? Way back in the days of Elijah. And remember that during the famine. Who was the man? He worked. He was on the staff, I guess, of Ahab and Jezebel. And he said, "Don't you know that that Jezebel has gone to destroy all the prophets, and that she's probably gotten word already that I hid them by 50, two groups of 50 that he hid in the caves?" Okay. So Jezebel was out to kill the prophets. Now, we're talking about the spirit of Jezebel that had taken also the spirit of Baal, had taken control of the land for the most part, and Jezebel hates the true word of God. Okay? So make comparisons, if you will, to the situation in the land where we are living today. The spirit of Jezebel hates the true prophetic word of God. Hates the truth. Hates the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hates justice. Amen? Jezebel is loves corruption. That spirit of Jezebel is the most corrupt thing that you have ever seen. I mean, it is not just a simple little bribery here or there. This is big time. Totally given over to wickedness. Amen? So, smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. So, God is laying this thing right on Jezebel. he could easily have laid it on Ahab, but he's going right to the source, which is the spirit that is motivating Ahab. Amen? Jezebel. Now, for the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall and him that is shut up and left in Israel. Now, what he's saying is every male, all right, every male, you see, for the most part, the inheritance, it was passed down through the men, okay? And even if a woman was, say, the seed of Ahab, she was not considered capable of passing on the same thing. She would take on the name of whoever she married, and that would be the way the heritage in her line would fall. It would fall to her husband's name. So God is going after all the males of Ahab's seed, okay? And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahiah. Someday we're going to have to look back into this Jeroboam, because God refers to him. Every wicked king is compared to Jeroboam, because he was apparently the first one that brought in some of this wickedness. And then there are times that he compares the king and he says, and he did worse than Jeroboam. Okay? So you remember how Jeroboam came. It was the son wasn't he the son of Solomon? No, Rehoboam. And Jeroboam was the rebel that came in on the other side. Okay? All right, so let me go on. He says, and the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel. In the portion of Jezreel. That means the vicinity of Jezreel. And there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. This is quite a prophecy now. And by the way, you find it. Wasn't Elijah given a very similar prophecy about Jezebel? Do you want to go back and look in 1 Kings? I think we found it in 1 Kings. About Jezebel. Yeah. In 1 Kings?
Yeah.
That far back? Well, it's very similar here. He says, therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung till it be gone. No, that he's just making a comparison there. Yes, him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it. But I think that word was spoken more specifically regarding Jezebel. And here is Elijah now speaking to Ahab, chapter 21 of 1 Kings. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house like the house of Jeroboam. And he goes on. And verse 23, and of Jezebel spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. Him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. And there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Amen. That means she incited it. Amen. So, okay, that's when Ahab rent his clothes and went about softly, and the Lord said, okay, we'll hold it off for a while. All right, so this young prophet must have known the prophecy of Elijah, and he is being stirred by the Spirit of God again. You see, now this is the third time that type of prophecy was given. It was referring to Jeroboam, it was given to Ahab, and now the prophetic word is being repeated again to Jehu in a closed room, where only him and that young prophet know what's being said. Okay, now, this man came, then Jehu came forth to the servants of the Lord, and one said unto him, is all well? Is everything okay? You went off with this fellow. Are you okay? You know, what's going on? And wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, you know the man and his babbling, his communication. Just some guy babbling away. See, this is what the other captains are saying to him. But they suspect something. Uh-huh. Yeah, no, wait a minute. No, this young prophet apparently didn't look like an ambassador from some kingdom. He must have been roughly dressed. You know, prophets didn't dress real nice. They wore rough garments and this type of thing. He probably let his beard grow, and you know, he was looking a little unkempt from his running and his journey. Okay. And you know the man and his communication or his babbling. And they said, it is false. You're lying. You're making light of this. Something more than that happened. It is false. Tell us now. And he said, thus and thus spake he to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. And they hasted. This is the captains now. They hasted, which means they hurried and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. So the army, this is a coup, yes. The army is now in agreement with Jehu. The army is fed up with the house of Ahab, and they're going to help Jehu now do everything he has to do. In other words, God is saying now, what we're going to do from here on is going to be done by force. It's going to be done by force. There's going to be a shedding of blood. All right. I'm going to use the military to do it now. I've tried other ways. I've tried my prophets. They're not listening. They have no intention of listening. Jezebel is still in control. See, Jezebel's still alive. Okay? So, let's get started. Okay? So now, he conspired against Joram. Now, Joram kept Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. Just like I said, he had apparently taken it away from Hazael. And so, verse 16 then. Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. All right? Joram was apparently not in very good shape. Okay? Do you remember what it was that happened to Joram? Go back to chapter 8, verse 28. And he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, and Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram, and King Joram went back to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him, even at Ramoth, when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria, and Ahijah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. All right, so here we have now, let's take another color here. Let's take green. Here we have now this man, this Joram. Okay, this is the man we're dealing with now. Wait a minute. No, I have the wrong one, don't I? What did I read here? Oh, yeah. No, I got the wrong one. I'm sorry. It's this one here. Ahaziah. Yeah. All right. He has gone to visit now his... What would this fellow be? His cousin? No. His mother is this fellow's sister. This would be his uncle. All right. So he's going over here to visit his uncle. All right. Ahaziah is going over to visit the Joram of Israel. Do I have it right? Because he's sick. So he's going to call on him. And it's a very interesting time that he's going to call on him, because this is when God is letting loose of Jehu. So now remember, this Ahaziah has now become a grandson of Ahab and Jezebel. A grandson is going to visit a younger son of Ahab and Jezebel, who is the son of a daughter of Jezebel, and the daughter of Jezebel has taken on her mother's spirit. You listen to Tommy Cook sometime. He has as much to say about Athaliah as he ever did about Jezebel. She was also an extremely wicked woman, as we will come to see. All right. So now he's coming into town. Joram is returned to be healed in Jezreel. He's trying to be healed of his wounds. And verse 16, so Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. And there stood a watchman at the tower in Jezreel, and he spied the company of Judah as he came and said, I see a company. In other words, there are horses and chariots coming, sir, Mr. King. And he said, take a horseman and send to meet them, and let him say, is it peace? Are you coming in peace? So he sent a horseman, a rider. Now, this must have been quite a ways off, and this fellow that was on the watchtower must have had very good eyes to be able to see. In fact, that's probably why he was chosen for his job, because he really had good eyes. So he sent out a horseman. The horseman came up to Jehu and said, are you coming in peace? And he said, peace? Get behind me. Ride behind me. Don't ride ahead of me, and don't go back. Get behind the company and move in. So the watchman says, well, I saw the rider. He went to whoever is coming, but he's not coming back. So in other words, that rider apparently could have was on a horse that could have gone faster than even the chariot horses, okay? Because he intended him to come back. See, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have signals or anything else. They just sent a rider, and he was to take a message. So they sent another rider, and the same thing. Get behind me. And I think, okay, verse 19, he sent a second on horseback. And is it peace? And what have you to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, he came even to him and cometh not again. and the driving is like the driving of Jehu the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. He had a reputation. That captain that he had appointed was known for wild driving. Let us say he was a wild man. And here's where I want to make the statement. What we have here, look at this. What we have is a swamp. Yes, the swamp is infected with the spirit of Jezebel. It isn't just Israel that is infected. Now the infection with this marriage over in Judah, this marriage of Joram to Athaliah, has now infected the other side. And God is saying, that's enough. This swamp has got to be cleaned up. Amen? It was not only a political swamp, it was a religious swamp. And God is saying, we're going to have to drain the swamp and get rid of all the lizards and the alligators and the reptiles and everything else, water moccasins, poisonous serpents, are going to have to be taken out and removed from the swamp. And it's going to be no longer a swamp. It's going to be drained. It's going to become good land again. Amen? So God is resorting to rather rough methods. Okay? So Joram said, make ready. In other words, get my chariot ready. Get my limousine. Get my helicopter ready, they would say today. We're getting out of here. Because he knew if Jehu, he must have known something about Jehu, that if he was coming at that pace and he would not let the messengers return and say he's coming in peace, he must have known that he was in trouble. So get my chariot ready. Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah. See, he had a visitor now from Judah, who was, as I said, the grandson. And he said, each one got in their chariot, and they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth the Jezreelite. Isn't that interesting where they met? Naboth. Naboth's vineyard. Amen? And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace, so long as the, listen to his description, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. Spiritual whoredom, witchcraft, and who knows, natural whoredom as well. You see, this woman was actually acting in the spirit of Semiramis. Do you remember the stories of Semiramis? She was probably the mother of many, many wicked ones in her day as well. And she's the one who started this whole false religion, this whole Babel religion. And Babel and Baal are not very far apart. Amen. So Joram turned when he heard that. He knew that he didn't stand a chance. He turned his horses and he fled. Okay. And he said to Ahaziah, the king of Judah, he says, there is treachery. There is treachery, O Ahaziah. Jehu himself, he must have had another man driving his chariot. Jehu drew a bow with full strength. He must have had a very good bow. He must have had one of the strongest bows. You know, you've never been involved with bow and arrows, have you? I did. I used to. Yeah, actually, I got a license. I could hunt with bow and arrow. I got a license. I had to take a test and everything. And there's different strengths
of bow and arrow. You can get a 25-pound, you know, you can get a 50-pound. I submit that Jehu probably had as powerful a pull as you could. And this is before they had these little wheels on them. What do they call the little, those kind of bows? You don't know. You've never played with them. Okay, anyway. Well, a crossbow would be different. That one you pull back and you fire it like a gun. There's a trigger that you pull. You don't have to physically hold a crossbow back. I'm thinking of the ones with the little eccentric wheels on them that you can, when you pull it back, you're not holding back, say, with a full 55-pound pressure. You're only holding back on, say, about half that pressure. But when you let go, it goes with a full. They didn't have those kind of bows in those days, all right? And Jehu drew the bow with full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in his chair. And there's an arrow that went right through him. That had to be a powerful shot. And he said, then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite, for remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons. See, there's where I got it. And the blood of his sons. I think she killed the sons too, to make sure there would be no claim on that vineyard. Thus saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat, in this portion of land, saith the Lord. Now, therefore, take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. So there's the son of Ahab now being cast into the plot of land of Naboth the Jezreelite. All right, Naboth. Okay? Now, Ahaziah, the other king. It says, when Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by way of the garden house, and Jehu followed after him and said, smite him also in the chariot. See, he knew he was also seed of Ahab. Amen? And they did so at the going up of Gur, which is by Ibalam, and he fled to Medigo and died there. All right, so in other words, he tried to go home. He got wounded. They didn't capture him right then, but he got mostly home, and he did die, though. Okay? Now, his servants carried him in the chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his sepulcher with his fathers in the city of David. So, yes, technically he's the son of David, but it's a corrupted son now, because now we have Jezebel's blood in him too. And in the 11th year of Joram, son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. Now, we got to deal with Jezebel. We got a few more to deal with yet. When Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at the window. What's that tell you? Why did she do this? See, this must not have been the common thing for Hebrew women to do. So she's presenting a completely different image. She's putting on paint and powder, done something to her hair, and she's looking out the window. Now, Jezebel is not a young woman anymore, all right? But she's apparently trying to look attractive. She's, what have we got going here? We've got some sex. She's trying to do sex appeal here. I believe, don't you? Trying to seduce him with the flesh. Yes. And Jehu entered in at the gate. She said, hath Zimri peace, who slew his master? She's referring to something that happened a long time ago about the man before Ahab, all right, who tried to make a coup. The people of Israel rose up against him, and then that's why Ahab became the king.
So she's saying to him, all right, it's going to happen to you, the same thing that happened to Zimri. Oh, no, it isn't. Because what Zimri did, amen, was not of the Lord. What Jehu is doing is at the command of the Lord. And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. She had eunuchs as her servants. Now, a eunuch is a man who is not going to be tempted, seduced sexually, right? And so here's the thing. What did they do? He said, throw her down. So they threw her down. Now, these eunuchs had to realize that her time had come. Surely word had come to them what had already happened to these two kings, all right? And yes, surely they were getting weary of her, amen? They threw her down. And it's, let me just quit for a second here on this. Brethren, what does it take to overcome the spirit of Jezebel? It takes a eunuch. Do you remember that? You have got to be insulated against her charms such that you will not be moved by them. She can't get through to me. What did Jesus say? The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. In other words, he doesn't have any hold on me. Sexual attraction, seduction has no hold on a eunuch. There's no chemistry in him that's going to be in any way drawn to this spirit. And this is a spiritual lesson here of overcoming Jezebel. There is nothing that Jezebel can offer you politically, spiritually, emotionally, in any way that would cause you, amen, to go for it. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trode her underfoot. He let his horse just walk right over her. Amen? And when he was come in, oh, he went in. Said, come on, guys, let's have some breakfast. I'm tired. He went in and did eat and drink. And then he said, go and see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. All right? We should at least give her the honor of a burial. She is a king's daughter. Well, they went out to bury her, and they found nothing of her except her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hand. What had happened? Boy, it didn't take the dogs very long on that one, did they? Must have been hungry. I mean, this all happened while Jehu was inside eating and drinking. I mean, Jehu. Jehu did not intend to live there. He just went in and said, well, let's have something to eat. Let's celebrate. And by the time he got done, Jezebel was finished.
So no mercy.
No mercy.
No mercy. You cannot show these demons mercy.
Amen.
You have to smite them.
Listen, these demons will come after your kids. They'll come after your brother, your sister. You cannot show them mercy. Amen. And so he spoke and said, this is the word of the Lord which was spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall say, this is Jezebel. Jezebel was turned to dog poop, to make it to say it bluntly. And the saying was to go out then, whenever they would see the residue of the dog, they would say, well, there's Jezebel. So this is the way God sees this spirit, as nothing but refuse. Now, there is another problem. All right, so let me go to my little drawing here again. Ahab happens to have 70 sons in Samaria, chapter 10. So, we're going to have to draw another little thing here from Ahab. Okay. Now, wait a minute. Hello? Jezebel is not capable of having 70 sons. It's not possible. A man can produce 70 sons, but a woman cannot. Okay? Obviously, Ahab had other wives. Okay? And so now, there's a lot here. There's a lot here. I want to go through it, though. Can we? Can we take the time and go through it? I can just summarize it, but I think we'll get a whole lot more out of it if we just, let's call this a Bible study, okay? It says, and Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. And Jehu wrote letters and sent to Samaria unto the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders, and to them who brought up Ahab's children, saying. So Ahab had hired all these elders and men to bring up his 70 sons. Well, we'll have to say at least he's taking some responsibility for them. Okay? But this is all going to be part of the swamp. We can't allow that either. Right? Because you know what's going to happen? One of these 70 is going to rise up and they're going to say, well, he's the seed of the king. We have to make him the next king. So as soon as this letter cometh to you, seeing your master's sons are with you, and there are with you chariots and horses, a fenced city also, and armor, look even out the best and the meanest of your master's sons and set him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house. In other words, okay, I've destroyed your half-brother, but now why don't you go find the best one of these 70 and put him on a throne? But they were exceedingly afraid and said, behold, two kings stood not before him. How then shall we stand? Nobody can stand before the power of this wild Jehu. He is anointed of God. He has a commission of God. And they realized he can't be stopped. And we're not going to do anything to try to stop him or to incite him to come after us. So, he that was over the house and he that was over the city, the mayor, okay, the elders also, and the bringers up of the children. Bringers up. That's an interesting word. The bringers up, bring uppers of the children, sent to Jehu, saying, we are thy servants, and will do all that thou shalt bid us. We will not make any king. Do thou that which is good in thine eyes. In other words, no. We are not going to touch this thing. No. We do that, and you're going to have my head. So he wrote a letter. See, he's doing this by letter. He wrote a letter the second time, saying to them, if you be mine, in other words, if you're on my side, and if you will hearken to my voice, take the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me to Jezreel by tomorrow this time. Now the king's sons, being 70 persons, were with the great men of the city, which brought them up. And it came to pass, when the letter came to them, that they took the king's sons and slew, that means they killed them, 70 persons and put their heads in baskets and sent them to Jezreel. And there came a messenger and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's sons. And he said, lay ye them in two heaps at the entering of the gate until the morning. So make two piles of heads. That would be 35. My goodness, what an awful sight that must have been. Awful sight. A pile. 35 skulls on this side, 35 on this side. Well, they weren't just skulls. They had faces and everything else attached to them. Can you imagine bringing them in a basket? Oh. So it came to pass in the morning that he went out and stood and said to all the people, "Ye be righteous. Behold, I conspired against my master, and I slew him. But who slew all these?" Where did these come from? Who did it? I didn't do it. Amen. "Know now that there shall fall upon the earth nothing of the word of the Lord. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing that I sent it out to do." So Jehu is saying the word of the Lord is not going to fall on the ground. It is going to accomplish the thing that it was spoken first to Elijah the Tishbite. Amen. "Concerning the house of Ahab, for the Lord hath done that which he spake to his servant Elijah. So Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel." Sounds like he got the women too. "And all his great men, and his kinfolks, and his priests, until he left him none remaining."
Does that mean he slew the men that killed the 70?
It says all his great men. The ones who were doing this were Ahab's great men.
So the great men killed the 70 sons.
And Ahab killed them. "And he arose and departed and came to Samaria. And as he was at the shearing house of the way," that's the shepherd's house, "Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, 'Who are ye?'" All right, this is Ahaziah's brethren now. I don't know whether it means they're literal, his literal brothers or not. Brethren. He said, "We are brethren of Ahaziah, and we go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen." They must not have heard. "And he said, 'Take them alive.' And they took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, and even 42 men, neither left he any of them." So this fellow, they might have been literal brothers, but they weren't all from they weren't all probably from Jezebel. Let's put it that way. Okay. "And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehoadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he saluted him and said to him, 'Is thine heart right? As my heart is with thy heart.' And Jehonadab answered, 'It is. If it be, give me thy hand.' And he gave him his hand, and he took him up with him in the chariot. And he said, 'Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord.'" This so-called wild man, "See my zeal." This was zealous. The man was going out and he was executing. Probably Jehu was the only man God could have asked to do that. Now, I'm saying Jehu was not a perfect man. All right? He was not a perfect man. He had a lot of blood on him. And when you come to the close of his life, it says that there was a golden calf that he didn't take away. He did away with Baal, but he didn't do away with everything. All right? Nevertheless, he was the servant of the Lord. Okay? He said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him ride in the chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria till he had destroyed him according to the saying of the Lord which he spake to Elijah. And Jehu gathered all the people together and said to them, "Ahab served Baal little," amen, "but Jehu will serve him much.
Oh my goodness. You know what?
Oh, it's a trick. You know what? Let us continue, because I want to talk about Athaliah and what she did. Can I do it one more week?
Oh, yeah, great.
No, he's not going to serve Baal. He's going to lay a trap. He's going to lay a snare, and he's going to catch all the Baal worshippers. And he's going to slaughter them. Jehu is saying, we're going to have a big party for Baal. So get me all the Baalites and the Baal priests. What a better idea to get them all together. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm sorry. I thought we'd finish, but I'm having a good time here, really. And I want to take one more time if I can. All right.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.